Lounge.
Motherfucking Game Lounge.
Welcome to the Game Lounge.
Motherfucking Game Lounge.
Welcome to the Game Lounge.
Motherfucking Game Lounge.
Suck it.
Bitches.
Welcome, welcome. Come on into the Game Lounge. This is episode number 18. I am the Fisherman.
And I am still Farba.
And it feels like we've been saying that a few times this week, man. You think the listeners are sick of hearing from us?
You know, you guys may have. We filled in for the other shows because Jitterbug and Nerfs took a little time off. And it was my responsibility to edit those and get those so that we could put them up on the feed. Apparently, editing while drunk is not the thing to do, because I kept fucking the edit up again and again and again. So what those shows are coming out with our voices, they're coming out late. I'm pretty sure the talking about movies and music are going to come out after this show.
Oh, no, that would be terrible.
I mean, I got them to them today, so they may be up before this one gets up, but I was just like, you know, and I went back and trying to fix it, and I'm like, what was I doing? Like, why is this bumper here? What the? Oh!
I know. The flagship show is already up. I listened to it. I think we held our own okay on that show. We really did. You were talking about earlier. We really did let Nerves have it. I think that was a little bit unwarranted.
Yeah, because you guys, like, I mean, we did what they do. I mean, they record all three shows at the same time, so we felt we should do the same. They start with the movies, then the music, and then they go into the talking ship flagship because, you know, by then the liquor's kicked in and they're ready to go, ready to flow. And we did the same, and I didn't realize how badly we railed on Nurse and him and his big-ass, bug-eyes, frog-looking eyes until, you know, I was editing the thing, and I was like, wow, I really wish I'd said something worse about JB now because, yeah, Jitterbug got off, like, scot-free, and Nerves just,
You know what's funny is we had as we were recording the three different shows in a row, we had to depict our tale of mutiny three different times because, you know, there are people that subscribe to just one of the shows. So we had to tell everybody what happened and why the fuck us two yahoos are on the other shows, you know, where their normal guys are. And I think as the shows progressed, in terms of how we were recording it, Not in terms of chronologically how it's been released, it got like crazier and crazier and more abrasive. So sorry, Nerves. We were nervous taking over the flagship, so we took some cheap shots at you. It's all love, man. But now we're back home, Farver. We're back on the Game Lounge, and we're drinking.
And we are drinking.
What are you drinking tonight?
I have got Diet Coke and coconut rum. Coconut rum was all I had, and no, so I ran out to my local Burger King, and I'm like, quick, I need a large Diet Coke, no ice, and so I came back, and I poured some of that into a glass, and I topped it off with the little rum, so I've got my Diet Coke on one side, I got my rum on the other, and I got my drink in the middle.
And where are your panties at?
Where are those at? Oh, why you gotta be like that? That's cold blooded.
So. Coconut and Diet Coke? Come on. What are you watching your figure?
All right, to be fair, my PAX picks, I'm a little rounder, more round than I wanted to be.
Dude, we got a good one.
We did. Yeah. We got, like, every fat guy gets that one shot that's like, man, I look almost svelte. You know, I look, wow, at this angle, under that lighting, and hidden behind this tree, you know, I almost look skinny. Yeah, of course. That you were bound to get that with all the pictures I managed to be in.
Yeah. But we were busting our asses for the hour and a half before that. Some of you sweated it off before we took that picture.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, big chunky me. So yeah, I'm gonna stick with the diet soda for a little while and just see what happens.
All right. Well, there you go. I'm drinking an IPA. I'm drinking a beer, of course.
Of course.
Terminal Gravity Brewing, out of Oregon, Enterprise, Oregon. It's the bottle says live beer, keep cold, and I think this fucker is like 10% alcohol by volume. So it is yeah, 10% alcohol by volume. So this fucker is loaded up, and I've got two of them. And you know, two beers usually doesn't even touch me, but at 10% ABV, I might be in trouble here once we get to the end of it.
I just want you to know, with that beer, I've got 21% alcohol by volume here, and let's just say I'll be finishing this bottle by the time the show is done, and so I will have beaten you out by at least 1%.
Well, I mean, then you have like 100% panties by volume on your ass too. So, you know, let's not forget about that. I think that might cancel it out a little bit.
I know. Who's a pretty little girl? Farva's a pretty little girl.
Nice. So with that, we're going to go to the digital desk. Okay, this is the digital desk, and the first story on the digital desk is about a little basketball game called NBA Elite 11, and it has been delayed indefinitely. This is something that is almost unprecedented in the world of sports games, because, hey man, you missed the start of the season, you missed the prime window of releasing your sports game, which is about 3 weeks to a month before the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
You've missed out on that cycle. So there's clearly something horribly wrong with this game. There's been major glitches shown in the demo that got released. There is an infamous one called the Jesus glitch. And there's a YouTube video of it. I'll put it on the forums of Andrew Bynum from the Lakers. And there's a point where in this guy's video of him playing through the demo, where Andrew Bynum stands in the middle of the court and spreads his arms out wide like Jesus,
uh-huh,
and just stays there. And like the game's going on all around him, and he's just right there. They're playing 4-on-5 now. The Lakers and the Celtics are playing 4-on-5. And there's like free throw shots, and you can see him in the background doing his locked-in pose. There's cinematic shots of the crowd, and you can still see him right in the middle of the court.
Wow. Somebody is a huge Lakers fan. Some designer's just like, this is going to be awesome.
And the video, the voiceover on the video is just some dude just cracking up. He's like, he looks like Jesus. And the voiceover is just about as funny as the glitches. But for real, though, Peter Moore, the EA Sports president, said that NBA Elite 11 is not ready. And they cited extremely ambitious goals that the publisher had for the game, as well as the desire to keep working until we're certain we can deliver a breakthrough basketball experience. Okay, so NBA Elite 11 aside, I wasn't planning on getting it. Farv, I'm sure you weren't planning on getting it.
I was not.
But do you remember what was going to come packed in with NBA Elite 11?
A shortened version of NBA Jam.
Right, for the Xbox
360,
for the 360 and the PS3, with the full retail version coming just to the Wii.
Yeah.
Now, what's happening is they're still releasing NBA Jam on the Wii next week, and they're going to be sold separately. The NBA Jam HD versions are going to be sold separately for the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360. Now, nothing was mentioned about a price point or if the extended features from the Wii game is going to be included for that. But does this kind of piques my interest a little bit more about the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions of NBA Jam. I was going to wait until I could get that downloaded anyways. Now, we had a hell of a time at PAX with
the Wii version
for the Wii.
Yeah, the Wii was amazing. I was looking at picking this up from the Wii day one next week.
Right.
If they announce that they're going to have all the features on the 360, then that might be enough simply because of the voice chat and all the friends I have on my friends list, that kind of thing. I mean, for me and you to be able to sit down and talk shit to each other and,
yeah,
you know, go toe-to-toe, that would be reason enough for me to pick it up on the 360. But, like, the thing is if it's still a shortened version, I'm willing to plug in my wired, you know, controller, turn my Xbox on, do my party chat with that, and then play it on the Wii.
Yeah, and I think that's what we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
But an HD version with all the features in it, and I mean, obviously it would be the same price point as the Wii or $10 more. You know, Wii games $50 and Xbox and PS3 games $60. I think I would throw in for the Xbox and the PS3 version if it was a fully featured thing and abandon the Wii one.
I would too. Yeah, and simply because this game. The motion controls on it for the Wii was a shit ton of fun. But what would make it more fun, what made it more of a good time was the ability to just talk shit to whoever was next to you and to have that party experience. And that sells it more for me than does the ability to actually, like, slam dunk it, you know?
Yeah. Achievements are kind of fun, too. You know, and it's not so much that I'm an achievement whore and I care about my score. I just kind of like good achievement integration, and it kind of adds the experience for me when I'm doing something and all of a sudden, doop, something comes up. It's like, oh yeah, that's cool. It just kind of validates what I just did.
Yeah.
Kind of like in Mass Effect 2 when you're getting it on. I don't know who you got it on with in Mass Effect 2. But the integration of the achievement for getting it on in that one was just timed and seen perfectly with the Miranda one.
You know what? In two playthroughs, I have yet to fuck her.
Okay, we'll do it just... Well, I guess you've already got the achievement.
I've been trying, but here's the thing. I ported my player over from 1 to 2, and in that one, I slept with Liara. So at the big scene at the end where I flirted with all the girls, Miranda was, like, super hot for me. At the scene at the end where it's like, okay, this is, like, we're getting ready to go on the mission. This is when it's going to happen. Like, everyone's, like, you know, all anxious and this and that, and I stop and I look at a picture of Liara. That's what I did. I'm like, that is fucking horseshit. I was pissed. So then I bought the DLC that has Liara in it, the Shadow Broker one.
Wait, hang on.
Oh, wait,
hang on. Was your shepherd drinking a Diet Coke and coconut rum at the time?
Fuck you. He might have been. Fuck you. I was staring at my fish, you know, looking at all the fish that I bought, because I'm like, yeah, I'm going to bring her up to my cabin. I bought every ship, every fish. I mean, my cabin was just pimped out.
Lots of decorating.
I go, and I'm like, okay, and I'm like flirting with Liara the whole time. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be awesome. We're going to be okay, yada, yada, yada. I even got her to come to dinner at one point in time, like, on my ship. Didn't fuck her again. Not once. I'm like, dude, it's been 2 years. You were fragged for 2 years, you know? What the hell do I got to do? I was pissed.
Was that part of the DLC?
Yeah. Oh no. Well, that was part of the DLC.
Yeah.
So I ended up. So I had Jack who was like hot for me, but I didn't touch her because I was Sorry, Jax. Jack. And because I was looking for what's her face, Miranda. I was like, had Miranda going for me. I had Kelly on the ship, hot for me. I'm like, yeah, I got all the, and I got nothing. I like set myself up for like a 3-way blue balls. It was horrible.
Ouch.
Yeah,
well,
it was rough.
That's something. Anyway, so
sorry.
So bringing it all back around, I really do like the integration of achievements, and I think that's going to be a minor point for me, but it'd be kind of interesting to see that in NBA Jam. You know, when I throw down on somebody to get a little badoop there when I get an achievement. You know,
yeah, the badoops are nice.
They are nice. They are nice, and they are cathartic, and they have a visually and orally stimulating little sound and pop when you get one. But that's NBA Jam, NBA Elite, and NBA Jam news. Keep your eyes open for news on this stuff, man. If they come out and say that they're making the full versions for the 360 and the PS3 between now and next week, I thought we had something going here, but I guess not.
I thought what we had was special.
I'll wait. I'll wait for by the holidays to get NBA Jam for the 360 or the PS3.
Yeah, I will too. In fact, Lano on Twitter today was tweeting about picking up NBA Jam, and I was like, sweet. Are you going to get it on the 360 or the Wii? And I'm all excited because he gets it on the Wii. You know, it's another person to play with. He's like, 360. And I was like, nah. Well, now that I got this news coming, I'm like, oh, I can kind of see why.
Yeah, because he can purchase it separately without getting the apparently horribly fucked up NBA Elite 11 strapped onto it.
Yeah.
So, all right, the next story we want to talk about is Fable 3, and all their voice actors have been sort of confirmed. They've been confirmed for a while, but we've not talked about them yet. Man, are you interested in Fable 3 at all, Farva?
Yeah, I loved the original Fable. Good. Do I not get to rant?
No, go for it.
Oh, thank you. You're like, good. Shut up. No, I got the original Fable after it had already been released and it had all the DLC like packaged into it. And when that was a platinum edition for the Xbox, like I hadn't even heard of Fable. I wasn't huge into that type of game yet. Mm-hmm. And so I played it, just loved it. Thought Jack of Blades was an amazing character. Just the whole thing was awesome. Got the second one, bought it, beat it in a day and a half. Bought all the DLC for it. Enjoyed it, didn't enjoy it as much. I loved how the life cycle seemed to be much longer, as far as like the lifespan of the character. But the final boss battle was the most disappointing thing I've ever seen in a game. And so that was like, that was devastating. But other than that, I really did enjoy a lot of the like side quests and stuff. And yeah, I've been very much looking forward to Fable 3. I didn't play it at PAX, and the only reason I didn't is because this was one of those few games that I kind of want to go into, because I know it's going to be good. I mean, they made improvements in every game, so this is one, and this is going to be the final one. I don't want to support a chubby and then have to wait 6 months before I get a release, you know.
Well, and then you're spoiling little parts of it too when you're following this stuff. Now, this isn't going to spoil anything for you. It's actually probably going to make you more excited. Have you heard anything about the voice acting cast?
I have not. No, nothing.
All right, so check this out. Here's the list of people that are in this game. John Cleese plays
phenomenal.
Your butler. Sir Ben Kingsley is in this one. Simon Pegg is in this too.
Hopefully he's not the gargoyles, because I fucking hated those gargoyles. And if it's Simon Pegg's voice is like, meh, can't hit me, meh, I'll be like, man.
Apparently he is an attention-seeking soldier who is looking for action. So that sounds just about right for him, I think.
That'll work, yeah.
Michael Fassbender, who's the evil guy. I don't really know. Do you know who that is, Michael Fassbender?
The name's familiar. Like, I'll IMDb him here in a bit, and I'll be like, oh, that's who it is.
Yeah, well, he's the bad guy in this one. Zoe Wanamaker comes back, and she plays Teresa. She's the one that's been Teresa forever.
Yeah.
Also, Stephen Fry comes back. He plays Reaver. And then a few other guys, Bernard Hill, Nicholas Holt, and Naomi Harris. All those people are in this, too. But I'm really excited to see what John Cleese and Ben Kingsley and Simon Pegg all bring to the table. That's some phenomenal voice acting right there.
Oh, yeah, it is.
And I really am looking forward to what they bring to Fable 3. Fable 3 seems like it's an entirely different take on Fable. It's not one of those you start with nothing and build your way up to the top. Mm-hmm. You seem to start from a good midpoint. You start as a prince who is to inherit the king, the crown. And then a large portion of the game is spent managing your kingdom as the king.
Okay, that's so strange.
Different,
yeah,
right?
You usually start as a pauper and a broke down nothing.
Yeah. You usually end the game as the king, but apparently that's the midpoint of the game, and then apparently that all goes to shit, and you got to work your way back or something.
Okay,
like that.
Michael Fassbender. I know why I recognize him.
Okay,
he's actually in the upcoming X-Men First Class. He's going to be Magneto.
Okay,
but here's where you'll know him. Okay, he had a small part in Inglourious Basterds. I could describe the scene; you'll know it. But 300. Okay, Stelios. The dude who was like, he's like, our arrows will blot out the sun, then we will fight in the shade. That dude, you know, the guy who at the end was like, he was talking to Gerard Butler's character, the king. I'm blanking his name. What's the king's name? Quick, the king.
King of Perseus?
No, the other one of the king of the Spartans.
Oh,
Gerard Butler.
Oh shit!
Super abs. God, Xerxes! No! Fuck! There's the other guy. Quick! Any listener, fucking will it to me. Who the fuck was it? I'm going nuts now. What was his name?
Don't concern yourself with.
Oh,
with
anyway,
the name.
Okay. When he's dying, they're all shot up with arrows at the end. He's the guy who reaches out and holds his hand. He's like, you know, it was an honor to serve with you. No,
okay, I gotcha.
That guy. That's who he is.
All right.
So yeah, hopefully okay, right he brings. Hopefully they poured his abs over to Fable 3 too, because they were phenomenal.
Wow. Yeah. Well, he's the bad guy. So I guess that's something to look forward to as well. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to Fable 3. It comes out October 26th, so keep your eyes open for that one. The next news story is not exactly...
Leonidas!
There it is.
Sorry. Okay, go ahead.
The next news story is not exactly new news, Farva. This has been reported on a few different podcasts and all kinds of different gaming outlets. Bobby Kotick is something of a controversial figure. He's the CEO of Activision.
Yeah.
And he had an interesting idea. He's got all these crazy ideas about what he can charge video gamers for and what people will pay for.
Yeah.
Like, for example, charging a monthly subscription for Modern Warfare multiplayer.
Which wouldn't work. Everyone would go to Halo.
I mean, even I
would go to Halo. I'd be like, you know what? This plasma grenade's not bad. Really, it's not
company.
Bad.
I mean, Bad Company is you know not that far off.
Yeah,
from Modern Warfare, But he had an idea, and his idea is that he said that it is likely that Activision is going to start selling in-game cutscenes from games like StarCraft II as standalone movies. And what he said was, if we were to go to our audience and say, we have this great hour and a half of linear video that we would like to make available to you at $30 or $20, you'd have the biggest opening weekend of any film ever. Within the next 5 years, you are likely to see us do that. Now, that may be in partnership with somebody, it may be alone, but there will be a time when we capitalize on the relationship that we have with our audience. Do you think you would go, and let's just blow this thing out and say they put this thing together, put an hour and a half of cutscene video together, and put it into a movie theater?
Mm-hmm.
And would you go to watch a movie of, I don't know,
No.
Of anything?
I mean, no, because they've got movies. I mean, like, I will go into the Redbox and I'll pay a dollar. Or even if I really want, you know, want something, I'll, you know, go and rent it, you know, at my little local video place for, like, the animated movie that was for Dead Space. That wasn't too bad. Or the
Extraction.
or the one that was for what's the one? The Dude Went to Hell, Dante's Inferno.
Yeah,
you know, those. Yeah, I will go and I'll pay for those, but I'll rent those. There's no way I'm going to pay $30 for something like this. No, I honestly, I think he knows he's full of shit when he's saying this. You know what? All right, do you know who Bobby Kotick reminds me of?
Who?
He reminds me of, like, Ric Flair back in the 1980s, like the mid-80s of the WWF, where you had, like, Hulkamania and this and that, and you had, you know, the Hulk was huge, the Ultimate Warrior, you had all these big badasses. You needed some, like, villain, someone to keep, like, you know, keep pace with them. He reminds me of that guy. He comes out, he's brash, he's over the top, he's like, yeah, you know, fuck this crowd, I don't give a shit about you, woo! You know, that was Ric Flair's thing. And he kept himself relevant. You know, and he kept wrestling relevant. He created these animosities. You know, now I'm sure Vince McMahon, all these writers were behind it, this and that. I honestly think he's doing that. He's like, you know what? We're going to fuck you this way. And people are like, no, you're not, Activision, and your new game that's coming out when you release your new game in 2011 that I'm eagerly awaiting. You know, all it does is it keeps him in the news. It keeps Activision in the news. It keeps their upcoming games, whatever game he happens to mention in the news, and keeps shit relevant. Then he comes back and be like, ah, no, we're not going to do that. And it's like, well, fuck. He's just got all this publicity that he's created by starting up this shitstorm. Then he turns around and says, well, we're not going to do it. And people think, you know, it's like if I say I'm going to take, you know, I'm going to take your last donut. And then I end up not doing it. Well, fuck. You just feel not only did you, you know, I never actually, the donut was yours the whole time. But suddenly it's like, oh, man, I get my donut. He didn't take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just seems like it's worth more. I think that's all he's doing. I think he's, publicity-wise, he knows how to be a dick and turn it to a profit, and I congratulate him for it. Fuck him.
I don't think that's the case at all. I think he really thinks these are good ideas. You know what else I think he thought was a good idea?
What's that?
Increasing the price of Modern Warfare 2 on the PC by $10 and making it $60 just like on the consoles. He did that and it worked. And increasing the price of DLC maps by $5, making them $15, and refurbishing old maps and making it seem like there's more content for a $15 pack than a $10 pack.
Yeah,
did that too.
But the thing is honestly, would you pay? All right. Well, I don't know what the last movie it was. Besides Machete, I don't know what the last movie is you went to theaters to see. But would you honestly pay $30 to go into a movie to see an hour and a half movie?
No, and I think the problem is, I think the problem with his idea is the price that he's quoting here. I don't think there's a problem with the idea of this at all. I think if it came into a regular movie theater price, if they make a StarCraft II movie.
Yeah, or a Dead Space movie. Or a Mass Effect movie.
They're already doing it with World of Warcraft. And
that
thing's going to go fucking crazy.
It is. I'm going to buy stock in whatever company's releasing that. I don't know shit about the World of Warcraft, but you bet your ass I'm going to pay and go see it.
You put World of Warcraft on anything and it sells out. That's it. That's all there is to it. But yeah, I don't think there's a problem with the concept itself of this, of him putting this together. Now, what I do have a problem with is if it starts eating into the cutscenes that are in the games and eating into the story that's in the game so they can hold it out for the movie or something like that, then it gets to be a bit of a problem. But hey, you know what? The thing is that money talks, and if it works for them, then they're going to do it. If people are paying money for it, and people, they got no conscience. They have an obligation to their stockholders to not have a conscience.
Yeah. If a gaming company wants to write, produce, finance, and, you know, distribute a full-fledged movie, and it's good, fuck it. I'll see it. Why would I not? It's good. It's entertainment. I pay money to go see movies. I like to be entertained. I mean, I literally went out just today and spent $115 on the Blu-ray set, the box set of the first season of White Collar and Spartacus, Blood and Sand. Uh-huh. I had rented them before. I thought my wife had bought it. She rented them. I was pissed, so we went out today and bought it. And I've got it now, and I'm Blu-ray, and I'm super excited because I love movies. I love to be entertained. If they're willing to put their money out and branch from games to film, fuck it. Awesome. Go for it. If they start chipping away at the games, if they put their hands in too many pockets and it starts, there's not enough hands producing good shit,
yeah,
they'll go broke. Gamers don't buy broke games.
Yeah, they will cut it down and cut it down and cut it down, and they will hit a breaking point where the quality of the game isn't enough to warrant the price they want to charge for it. And it's going to be a balance, you know. I feel like, from a completely objective standpoint, games in general, like a game like Modern Warfare 2 for $60, mm-hmm. Oh my God, what a fucking value! Are you kidding me?
Oh, phenomenal! Yeah.
How many hours have we poured into that thing, just you and me? And at a cost of what per hour? At a cost of what? 50 cents per hour?
At least. And the thing is that we haven't even, and we play part-time at that, at that going by itself. You got guys who have invested probably, I would say, thousands of hours into that game.
Oh, I'm sure. And so, from an objective standpoint, with a lot of these games, we're getting an awesome value. And they're going to break that down and break it down to a point where it breaks level. And if they go below that, people are just going to stop buying video games. They're going to have to keep on working on that. But expect to see more of this kind of thing in the future. These are the kind of weird and wacky and crazy kooky fucking ideas that get thrown out there and turned into $15 DLC.
Yeah, there's no way in hell. Like I said, if they make a movie, a true-on movie, then I'll go see a movie if it's good. I mean, I've seen a lot of movies this year, actually more than I have in years recent, and I'm thoroughly enjoying my movie-going experiences. I have no problem with that. But this whole, we're going to put together, because it's cutscenes from a game and this whole long story, then we charge $30 for it? Man, fuck you, I only paid, $7.50 to see Lord of the Rings. That was a fucking 3-hour movie. I'm going to go and wait around for an hour and a half because, hey, it's fucking animated. You ain't Pixar, fucker.
I think spending $100 million to develop StarCraft 2 and having some of the most well-produced video game cutscenes of all time in that game might have given him rose-colored glasses. The idea of people blowing him for his cutscenes. I think maybe that had something to do with it. But hey, I wouldn't put it past him. So keep your eyes out for that. And we got a couple more.
Hey, real quick, watch this transition, okay? Because I'm looking at our show notes. So speaking of amazing cutscenes that could borderline on art.
Oh.
Well,
yes. So there is a Paris art gallery that is getting an Assassin's Creed exhibit that is going to run for the month of October. October 5th to October 30th, you can go to Paris and see the Assassin's Creed art exhibit, and it's called Assassin's Creed The Explosion. Not really so sure about that name, considering Assassin's Creed doesn't really hinge too much on explosions.
No, it's all about subtlety and whatnot, but you know what? Generally, I don't like the French. I mean, the thing is, I'm not even a big fan of Pac-Man Polar Bear because he lives in Canada, and I don't know if he's French-Canadian. Like, I don't go to the Bayou because you got the Creole down there, and that's like half French, half, I'm not a fan of the French. I don't like the French. If you're French, you're listening to this, I love you. But other than you, fuck the French. And so, knowing that, I can say kudos to the Frogs, man. I mean, they are the first people that are taking a video game and saying, fuck it, this is art. And they're putting it on display. And I hope this thing opens up like gangbusters. And I don't know. Is that even a legitimate term anymore, open like gangbusters? I don't even know exactly what that means. I hope it does really well. I really do. I hope it does really well. And people who aren't in the gaming industry go to see it. I hope it gets good reviews. I hope it's – I mean – when you can, you know, paint pictures of noses and, you know, baby fetuses hanging upside down and call that shit art, you know, I hope to God that this counts too. I really do. Because
right.
This is that step towards saying, you know, there was once an argument that, you know, music that was recorded wasn't art. And then movies were not art. You know, right. Now it's video games are not art. And, you know, it's art can be expressed in any medium whatsoever.
Right.
You know, if you can, like, stand naked, you know, in the middle of New York and, like, dance around and touch yourself and call it art and performance art, fuck yep. it. How is a video game not art? I think that's fucking retarded, that argument. And I hope this is a step towards saying, you know, fucking Roger Ebert, shut the fuck up, you stroke-having motherfucker.
Wow. Well, okay, so let's be clear here. This isn't like they're going to be having the video game in this art gallery.
No, but if they have... All right. No, I'm sorry. Why am I interrupting? I have no idea. I'm saying if. Why don't you tell me what they're going to have?
They're going to have paintings. Based on artist renderings of what they have seen and what they've played in Assassin's Creed and the Assassin's Creed chronology of games from Assassin's Creed 1 all the way through the new one, Brotherhood.
But the artists have played these games.
Well, I would have to assume. It doesn't say one way or the other. I mean, I don't know. I guess you could see a screenshot of it and take what you will out of it if you are an artist. But there's no one way to tell. I think you'll be able to tell if the artist can capture the actual motion of the game in their painting and if they play the game or not. The pieces have all been appraised by a fine art expert,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to be on sale from 600 to 2,000 euros. So,
wow. Kudos.
Yes. So not, nice.
So you're looking at
nice
800 to 2,500.
Yeah, that's about right.
Dollars. Yeah.
And also, there will be two of the pieces have been chosen to make printed as a limited edition lithographs. 149 of each of them have been made and will be sold for 80 euros. So if you're not, you know, just shitting out money, you could still get a little piece of this art. And the proceeds actually go to a video game history and culture preservation program. And so you can feel good about supporting your hobby in more ways than one if you get your hands on one of these. I don't know if they'll export it. I'm sure all of these things will be sold right there at the exhibit. And we in the States won't even have a shot at them. But hopefully you get to see more of this. You know, there's this. There's Video Games Live, the Symphony Orchestra. Have you heard of that? Video Games Live, the Symphony Orchestra touring experience?
No.
Okay. So they're a symphony orchestra, and they tour around the country and play music from video games in different concert halls. Did some things like Halo music, and they have like a symphony orchestra with like all the trappings you would need, keyboards, electric guitars, a singer, and all that stuff to make a full soundtrack, full game soundtrack experience. And they play Mario and Zelda and all the classic ones too. It's things like this that expand the video game medium beyond the video game. And get people who aren't necessarily into video games into the concepts of them.
Yeah,
and I think it's nothing but good. And I'm looking forward. Hopefully, there's a follow up post to what I'm reading here about the actual exhibit with some more pictures of the art, because I've only got one of them here. But it looks really, really cool. I'm excited for things like this to keep happening.
Well, I have nothing to say.
Okay, and the last one is one that was sent over by our friend Special K, who just happens to be my girlfriend's sister, and yeah,
sorry,
I told her you would be giving her a special shout out. You remember her special shout out?
Yeah, from, the deaf time? Girl, the chicken rubber duck. Yeah, I remember. Yeah,
she's not deaf.
I know, but she yeah. All right, she's not deaf, but she practices her sign language while listening to us, and I shouted out random nouns at I don't know. I just. All right, I'm two drinks deep. Go ahead.
Okay, we'll keep working on it because I promised her a special shout-out from you, so we'll make that the end of the show. So keep on thinking about that until we get down there. But she sent up a story about a new Left 4 Dead mod replaces zombies because, I mean, come on. We're just about zombied out, right, Farva? I mean, we've got this. We've got Dead Rising 2. We've got Dead Space 2, which is not really zombies, but pretty close, right?
Yeah, yeah. I was, you know, I was going to say, no, man, fuck it, I love zombies. But I actually did not do my care package on Dead Rising 2 because I'm actually a little sick of zombies right now.
See, that's the thing. Is and did well, we'll get down there. sorry, I'm jumping ahead. There's a mod out there for Left 4 Dead. Good old classic Left 4 Dead. It replaces zombies with Teletubbies.
Yeah, I've actually seen this before.
Have you?
You can find it on YouTube. Yeah, it's like just Left 4 Dead Teletubbies, and it's pretty funny. Like, they're creepy-ish. They run just like the zombies do, and they're like, and they're, yeah, it's pretty funny.
All right, so that's really it. There's not much of a story there, but yeah, just a recommendation.
Like, for most people, they're like, oh, that's old news. For anyone who's a parent, they're like, fuck it, find me this mod.
Yeah, recommendation, go to YouTube, look up Left 4 Dead Teletubbies. You'll laugh your ass off. It was news to me, maybe not news to everybody else. But that's going to do it for Digital Desk, and we're going to go on into Care Package. This is the Care Package, and my friend Farva, I think you have a Care Package for us tonight. What is it?
Well, a bunch of games came out this last Tuesday. FIFA, which I was excited to play, came out. I went to get my hands on it. All the copies were gone.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So I went to Dead Rising 2, and there was one copy left, and I realized I haven't fully done everything I want to do or can do in the little demo I have, and I don't want to jump into this until I'm done with that. You know, it's like walking into a movie late. You know, you don't quite have all the backstory. So I opted to put that one on hold for a bit. So the next game and the only other game that was released that was it looked like it might be worth anything is a game called Front Mission Evolved.
Okay.
Now, I know all of you guys are so interested to hear about Front Mission Evolved, so let me tell you a little bit about this game. Essentially, this happens in the year like 2147 or somewhere thereabouts. These huge – basically the world is divided up into two huge groups. They have these elevators that run into space, and they have these huge space stations over that kind of overlook everything. And everything is the only battles that really matter, you know, the only form of warfare that you use. You don't really use tanks and helicopters and jeeps and that. I mean, they exist in this world, but you don't really use them. Yeah, what you do use are these fighting mechs. You know, like and they don't call them mechs, though. I don't know if that's a trademarked term, because they called them something like Wanzers or something like that. They're like, okay, what style of Wanzer is that? And it's like, it sounds so bad. You know, they could have just said bot, and that would have been better. But so essentially, you start off, you're this young guy who's you've been testing and developing this new one. You're running through all its testing stages. It's just pretty much your tutorial. And then there's all hell breaks loose in the city you're in New York. And all these Wanzers come out of nowhere and just start blowing the shit out of everything. And the cutscenes that happen here are pretty cool. I mean, there's probably at one point a 3-minute cutscene of just the attack going on and just showing how devastating, you know, everything is and how badass some of these little mech thingy bots are. And it's kind of cool to watch, but it's nothing. It's not like the new Halo or anything like that. I mean, it's nothing like, wow, you just have to sit here and watch it. You've never seen anything like this. But it's as good as any typical, like, animated movie you've ever seen. You know, with those things, animation type shit. Yeah, it's as good as that. So you decide, you know, oh my god, they're going towards the NSA building, which apparently is where your dad is. It's some sort of national scientific research place, something like that, I don't know. But anyway, you go to start locating your dad, you take this new machine into battle, and you end up pairing up with this female sergeant, and you two of you kick ass for a while, and long story short, that's kind of where the story picks up. You end up getting drafted into the military, your dad supposedly gets killed, you're out for revenge, and, you know, the whole world is, you know, going to war. So the gameplay itself, the whole thing is done from a third-person perspective, unless you zoom in with you click your right stick and you can zoom in a little bit. The controls aren't too bad, but they're a little wonky at times. Like, your bot mech thing is ridiculously slow. I mean, we're talking like snail crawling pace slow. And you have like this this meter, and if you press the B button, you can do what they call skating, which is basically like using your rockets, and you kind of just start flying around really fast. It's like you're ice skating. And if you have your right trigger works, your machine gun, or whatever weapon's in your right hand, your left trigger's your left hand, right bumper's right shoulder, left trigger's left bumper. The combat is because at first kind of seems okay. This is kind of cool. Like you start off with a machine gun on your right hand. You got some sort of like club looking thing, like a little like it looks like kind of brass knuckles in your left hand, and on your left shoulder you have a rocket launcher. And so you start using those. So if you're doing that like skating around thing, and you go up to somebody and you hit, you use the brass knuckles, your hit is way more devastating because it's got all the power, coming from behind it. Problem is it gets so jerky and jumping around. Sometimes you'll find yourself like lining up the perfect shot and then you just miss for no reason. It's kind of weird. Your machine gun is pretty awesome. It just kind of lays down fire. You ammo is everywhere. Your missiles are actually really overpowered. I mean, there are times when I just kind of waited in the back and just kept, popping out from behind a pillar, drop a bunch of missiles, haul it back behind it, and just kept doing that. And you can clear whole stages doing that. After a little bit, you can kind of progress into the second mission. You progress and you can get like a shotgun and this and that. They tell you it's like, yeah, up close, the shotgun is devastating. Shotgun is a piece of shit.
Okay.
Fucking useless. Nice. I mean, just absolutely. I regretted getting it from the first moment I first fired it. There's nothing I can do until I finish that mission to get rid of it. And after that, you're truly drafted into the military, starting your third mission, and you have access to these pre-made bots, either like a medium-sized kind of quick attack bot, this heavily armored, basher type dude, or which is like a heavy gunner or a sniper. And I took the sniper, and you can pretty much just rip everything apart before they ever get on it. It's not. If you just want to kind of plow through it for the sake of plowing through it, it's like, okay, go ahead and do it. There's the story is okay. The voice acting's pretty good. The story, it's just there's not enough there to really make you want to stay and play it. When it comes to these mech-type games, like, I want one for Kinect,
Right.
And I want one for the Move. I mentioned that, like, last week or the week before. But I want that third-person view where, it's like I got the two controllers and, I'm pointing at the screen, I'm blowing shit up, and I've got that, and if I sidestep to the side or whatever I do, I shift both to the left or the right, the mech moves around that. That's kind of what I want.
Yeah.
And that's not what I'm getting here. And that's frustrating. And it's not a bad system all the way around. It's just not a good, just this third person view. It's just not all that fun.
Okay, so you were not a fan of the Transformers game that came out earlier this year. Is this better than that or worse than that?
It's honestly, it's on par.
Okay.
The combat, there are things about the combat, like sometimes you'll come up against these bots who are, they're just bruiser bots, or bots, wizards, wars, or whatever, the mazers, whatever the fuck they're called, and they literally have like these baseball bat things, and literally they will like just charge right at you and beat the shit out of you, and they are so overpowered that the only way to defeat them is to lose to them once, come back and spawn back, know where they're coming from, and just start hammering rockets. As soon as they get into Zoom, you're just fucking hit them with rockets again and again and again. Because there's really other way to do it. They're just so overpowered. It's not a bad game. It's just another game though. There's nothing about this game that's going to make it rise above the pack.
It's a pass, though, right? That's what we're saying here.
Yeah, it's nothing.
It's a pass.
Yeah, at no point in time will you pick this game up and really just be like, oh, this is just a huge honking piece of shit. I mean, for the most part, the controls work well. Everything kind of flows together. I mean, you hit like your X, and whatever direction you're going, if you press X, you do like a quick dive like a quick move. So that's what you use to kind of dodge out of the way of missiles and other weapons attack, bots attacking you. It's just one of these things where there's nothing really new here, and there's nothing here. It's one of these games that it's a passable game. If it was the only game I had to play for a weekend, I'd be like, oh, man, but I could go ahead and play it and beat it and not really bitch too much. You know, it's just it honestly gets just a solid 3 out of 5 for me. I mean, it walks right down the middle. There's nothing inherently broken about it, but I can't give you a list of reasons why you'd want to play it either.
So my advice, I think, is if you're itching for a futuristic mech-style shooter, I think Transformers was very good. Farva, you thought it was okay.
I didn't mind it at all. I mean, it had its my problems were more with the aesthetics, the bad guys blending into the back and not being able to see them until they just were on top of me, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that happens to this one, too, because they're just so fast.
I think that one's more of a Gears of War paced mech game as opposed to a straight mech-paced mech game, which it sounds like Front Mission Evolved is a little more of. But I will tell you, if you're looking for a futuristic battle third-person shooter sim, wait for Vanquish. That game is really, really tight and really, really good. I got to play that at PAX. I don't know if I talked about that at all. It's very, very polished and a whole hell of a lot of fun. It's fast and action-packed. And it seems like it's the kind of game that Front Mission Evolved would have wanted to be. Now, I don't have any personal experience with Front Mission Evolved. I can't really pass judgment on it. But from what I'm hearing from Farva and from some other places, There's more out there for us right now, you know.
Yeah, there's. I mean, I would much rather have got my hands on FIFA, and if I had beaten the Subject Zero, I'd much rather played Dead Rising 2.
Yeah.
But this one, I mean, it was a passable game. I mean, I rented it; it was worth my $4, and I spent 2 or 3 hours into it, just kind of playing through it. And there's nothing inherently, like I said, there's nothing inherently broken about this game, and nothing about it would be like, I just despise this aspect. I mean, the voice acting is good. Yeah. It's solid. The animation is solid. The combat is solid. The you know, controls are solid. Just nothing stands out. It's your typical C student.
Okay.
I mean, nothing. It just doesn't stand out in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, so a rent or a pass. You know, if you really want to try it, rent it. And you can probably get your fix of it pretty quickly.
Real quick, for the record, it does have a multiplayer.
Okay.
And just with the speed that the combat can move at and with the different type of bot types you can set up, I could see that being entertaining. I just didn't have time to delve into it. It was like 2 in the morning by the time I got off playing the single-player campaign, and I did not want to turn around and, you know, delve into the multiplayer at that time. I was way too tired.
Right.
So if you're into, you know, if that kind of combat interests you, it would definitely be worth a rent. I mean, I don't think you would be pissed off if the multiplayer you didn't like for whatever reason, and then you spend a couple hours in the single player campaign on a $4 or $5 one night rental type of thing. I don't think you'd be disappointed.
Right. And you brought up earlier that that you would like this kind of a game for the Kinect or the Move, and I think that's the next time we'll actually see a good mech game come out, is when they get it right on the Kinect and the Move. They have announced Steel Battalion coming out for the Kinect, and I heard it on a podcast this past week, and I totally agree. You know, the concept of a mech game on the Kinect is a great one. I'm very interested in it. Maybe shouldn't have called it Steel Battalion, because that brings up some memories of a super fucking complicated controller, and which goes almost... Well, it goes exactly counter to what Kinect is. No controller.
Yeah.
But you know what? The idea of being in a Kinect, in the Kinect space, and having your arm be the right gun of the mech and have your left arm be the left gun of the mech and just sort of moving around in the space and, you know, feeling like a badass, kind of like the mechs in The Matrix, the end of the last Matrix movie.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like a perfect analogy, and I think that is the next time you'll see a really, really good mech game. Now, you didn't pick up Dead Rising 2 because you had not finished the Dead Rising Case Zero. When you do, are you going to pick up and rent and try Dead Rising 2?
I will definitely pick it up and that will probably honestly be my next care package.
Okay.
I will probably pick it up and rent it. It's just a matter of... I'll rent it and kind of throw myself into it and see if it's worth the buy, you know, investing like a full, you know, 20, 30 hours into it. Because when I buy a game, that's about what I end up spending into it, 20 to 30 hours.
Okay.
So that's kind of what's up in the air on it. But yeah, once I beat Case Zero and finish doing everything I can do in that, you know, save everybody, do what I can do, because port and import that guy, that character, that level 5 over, that's what I'm going to go ahead and pick up Dead Rising 2.
Now, did you know they have multiplayer in Dead Rising 2?
I did not.
Okay, so the multiplayer, I guess there's a competitive multiplayer mode in there, but what intrigues me is the co-op multiplayer. It is a straight story co-op mode, and but it's not quite like Borderlands in the sense that you bring in a friend, and it is a, you are Chuck Green, and your friend is Chuck Green, and you are, there is no logical explanation in the story for why this can happen. You're just two fucking Chuck Greens storying it up. And the second one gains no story progress, but can gain experience points and money and all that stuff. So, at first you think that may not be all that great. You're also tethered to the other person in the sense that you can't go to a different zone than they are in. Anytime you need to change zones, you have to be at the same spot kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Sounds a little restrictive, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought that sounds like a perfect multiplayer mode, because at no point in Dead Rising 2 are you just going to be able to grind. You are on a time limit, and that is it. But if you can pop into someone else's mission and help them defeat a boss or something and get experience points and grind your guy up and make new combinations and all that stuff and just have fun in their game, that sounds perfect to me.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no narrative point to it, but then, come on, you didn't come to Dead Rising 2 for the narrative anyways, did you?
No, you came for the zombie slaying. Is that one of those things that's kind of bringing you back to picking it up, or...?
It's kind of. I mean, listen, I was trying to put together a list of games that I need to finish, and
I think
just about ran out of paper doing
it. That's a long list, brother.
I mean, it's like Assassin's Creed 2. I want to finish Borderlands. That's going to take fucking forever. I want to finish Final Fantasy 13. That's going to take fucking forever. I've still got Halo Reach, and I still want to finish the Tomb Raider game that I picked up. And I want to put more time in with Monday Night Combat. I feel like I've completely forgotten about Monday Night Combat.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just all these games that I have that I just have not had time to play. Dead Rising 2 is going to be one of those that I wait. And I'm going to wait until it gets chopped down. And maybe I'll miss out on all the co-op. Maybe by the time I get it, it'll be long forgotten. But if I get it for $20...
That's worth it.
You know, and 4, 5, 6 months. Yeah. Okay. That's good. You know, maybe after I beat Portal 2, will I start looking at Dead Rising 2 and seeing if I can catch a price drop on that thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. You know, if the reviews come back and I just keep hearing great things from my friends, I mean, obviously that's what will good influence enough. My purchasing decision.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for the care package, and we're going to move on into the game bang. This is the game bang, and I have a game bang for us this week, Farva. Do you have a game bang for us?
You know, I do not. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I played, no, in fact, I honestly racked my brain. I'm like, I don't even think I played a game. Oh, you know what? I did. I got one.
Okay.
Shoot. It's a short one. Okay. My iPhone, I downloaded a couple of games. I bought Resident Evil 4 for the iPhone, and I got Cash Cab. And I haven't had a chance to play Resident Evil 4 yet, but Cash Cab's kind of fun. Okay. It's not too bad. So it's a pretty good port over. It was on sale for 99 cents, so it was a good steal. That's all I have.
May I also recommend on the iPhone something I've been playing the past week called Monster Dash? I think it's $1, and basically it is a side-scroller, and you run. Your running is automated. So you don't need to worry about left and right and running. All you need to worry about is jump and shoot. And you have monsters that come down and or come up and you shoot them or you jump over them. And then you have gaps to clear, so you jump them. There's the little bottom left corner of the screen of the iPhone is the jump button. The bottom right corner is the shoot button.
Mm-hmm.
It is the perfect iPhone game because it is not complicated and you don't need to worry about precision on your touchscreen. All you need to worry about is precision in your timing. And it's really a whole lot of timing, but I've been putting a lot of time into it. It's a great, you know, you got 4 minutes, you're waiting in line, whatever, go for it. Anyway, so my real game bang this week is Civilization V. The Fisherwoman talked a little bit about this as a care package last week. Oh, Farva, I am 7 hours into this bitch.
Mm-hmm.
And you hate it. about halfway through my first game.
Wow.
It is a... I am in the 11th century now.
Okay.
And that is where I am. Now, there's a little narrative to go along with my civilization experience. I started off as the Romans. As Augustus Caesar with the Romans. And I played on continents. So basically what's happened is I get onto a continent with, I believe it was the Persians and the Greeks on this continent too.
Okay.
And so I built up a city. I built up Rome. And then I got a few good things going here and there, and I started expanding out. Went and built another city. Apparently that city was a little bit too close to the Persian cities.
Oh.
The Persian leader did not like that. Sent me a message, said, "Hey, fucker, you're too close to my cities." And I was just like, this guy's being a dick already? Man, we're like in the year, 4000 BC. Get over yourself.
Yeah.
And he's all up my ass about being close. I didn't even see him. I didn't see him until I built the city, and I saw that my border was somewhat close to his border.
That's the problem. See, ignorant Americans, you don't give a shit about who's around. You just fucking plop your ass wherever the hell you want.
Well, this guy's being a cocksucker. I don't know what to do. I went over there. I explored the area. I dropped my city. All of a sudden, it's close to his city. He doesn't like it. Okay. Sorry, asshole.
So you have the worst explorers ever.
Farva, I was
polite. We totally missed that city. Seriously, we found all the grapes you could want. Didn't see the city. Our bad.
I was polite to him. I was like, fuck this guy to myself.
Yeah, yeah.
To him, I was like, okay, sorry, we won't do it again. We won't be fucking around. Because I don't want to make any waves in 4000 BC.
A politician.
Respectful. It's like, come on, I don't feel like rustling anybody's feathers in 4000 BC. This is not the time. I need to focus on getting my people the food they need, right?
Yeah.
And then the leader of the Greeks comes over to me and says, hey, dude, those Persians are a bunch of fucking assholes. So why don't we make a pact of secrecy? And what a pact of secrecy is in the game is that you can trade information with this with one party about another party without them ever knowing.
Okay.
So I was like, yeah, okay, let's do that. That's cool. So we go on for a few years, about 100 years or so. And then finally the leader of the group says to me, and we've all built up cities a little bit. The Persians got like 4 cities. I've got like 4 cities and the Greeks have like 3 cities. And finally the Greek guy comes over to me and says, all right, I'm sick and tired of this Persian asshole. Let's go to war with him together. I was like, oh yeah. All right. That's cool.
Your path's not going to be secretive anymore.
No, not anymore. And I was like, well, okay, hold on. Give me 10 turns. 10 turns to build up my army so we can do this thing proper. We can do this thing right.
Okay.
So I roll up, and all the while, Farva, I didn't mean to be an asshole. I didn't mean to be a warmonger. It just, this guy came over and was just being a dick, and all of a sudden, I've got a pact of secrecy against him, and then my buddy is like, all right, let's just take this fucker out. And I was like, all right, bro, let's go do this thing. This guy's being a cocksucker, so let's just clear this guy out. Now, what happened was we went to war with this guy, and I sent – basically, the Greeks kept storming their capital city, which is pretty well defended, and I kept taking out all their smaller cities. And so when you take over a city in Civ, you take it over and it becomes your city. No matter if you've gone to war against this person with somebody else on your side, if you're the one that physically takes the city, it's yours.
Okay.
All right. So this city is mine. It is in no way affiliated with the Greeks that I'm fighting it on the side with. And I have now successfully done this to all 3 of their sub-cities. And all that's left is their capital, which the Greeks are still having a hard time getting through. But by this time, I have amassed, like, just this incredible army. And so we just storm that fucker and take it, too. And so now I have this empire, and the Greeks have, like, 3 cities. And all of a sudden, and I'm like, all right, cool, we did it. Great job. let's chill out. And all of a sudden, this guy flips the script and turns into an asshole now and goes to war with me.
No, dumbass.
It's like, you fucking idiot. So now I have now I'm all I'm researching and all I'm researching is war technology. Like gunpowder is my thing that I'm racing to.
Mm-hmm.
And I've abandoned every other research tree that's in the game of cultural significance, of exploration significance. Now I'm racing to the war ones. And I'm like, all right, dickbag, you want to do this? Let's do it. And so we rumble, and I just destroy him. And now I have the entire continent. All right? Great. I have dominated this continent. It is mine. Guess what I don't have?
What do you not have?
A boat.
Oh, no.
I have musket men and some of the more technologically advanced war units in the game. I don't have a boat that can get past the shallow waters of the beach. So I'm sitting here twiddling my thumbs waiting to get across the ocean because now I've become a warmonger and it's like, all right, fine. I'll go with it. I'm the asshole that took over the entire continent. And it wasn't my fault, Farva. It wasn't my fault. This guy goaded me into being a warmonger. And turned war on me. And now I've destroyed two entire civilizations, single-handedly. Destroyed two entire civilizations.
And you're a monster.
And I'm a monster, but I'm contained. I'm contained on this one continent. But I'm just going to go for the military victory. I'm biding my time now in the early 11th century that I still haven't developed a goddamn boat. But I'm working my way to it, and once I get there, man, those other fuckers better look out.
That's funny. It's like no one in your entire fucking continent has realized, hey, did anyone see that stick float? Anybody?
Yeah.
No? Okay. This is me. My bad. Witchcraft. It's witchcraft.
You know what the concept that I just researched was?
Tell me.
Writing. Like, writing on a piece of fucking paper. All my guys were expert marksmen, but none of them knew how to write a letter to anybody. So.
Nice. You spent 4,000 years developing the ultimate bully.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, I can't read, oh, I can't write, but I can hit shit.
That's exactly right. I just got there, and I took a look at my tech tree and saw what I had developed and what I had not. I'm like, it's funny just to see myself, like, my technology being all the way exposed five levels deep on the asshole fighter side and still being about level two on the intellectual figure and shit outside.
Congratulations, Fish. You are the king of a continent of rednecks.
That's what I do, man. I'm home. I'm home. A bunch of Roman rednecks, apparently.
That's all you got. Nice.
So that was my game. And I'm having a good time with Civ 5, man. Obviously, I can tell a narrative about it. And like I said, I'm 7 hours into my first game. It appears to me that this game is the ultimate board game. It is, if you liked Risk, if you were into Risk, this is Risk times 100. And with computer animations, and that looks really, really pretty. But,
yeah.
You know, make no mistake, it's not a video game in the strictest sense of reactions and quick reflexes will get you through in this thing. It's a board game that you're playing against the computer or you're playing against fellow players. And if you're into board games and you got a computer, I see no reason why you shouldn't be interested in Civ 5.
Well, here's the thing. Like, on the computer, like, I have my laptop's pretty basic. Pretty stripped down. Do you think it could handle? I mean, it's your average buy-it-off-the-shelf laptop. It cost me, I think, $800 when I bought it a year ago. Do you think it could handle Civ 5?
Definitely.
I mean, all right, because it sounds like, honestly, something that would help pass the time when I'm not at work being bored.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
There's a demo out there. There's a demo on Steam.
Well, the thing is like I don't have time to play when I'm home, and I don't have access to the internet to run Steam when I'm gone.
Well, you don't need access to the internet to run Steam.
Really?
Yeah. Steam downloads to your hard drive. the games. It's just a download service.
No way, because I thought it had to run off the internet. Because all right, now apparently my ignorance has just been flown free. Because I bought Dragon Age Origins originally from Steam, but I realized it was an internet-based service, and it was like, oh, fuck, I can't keep this because it's on Steam. So I wrote to Steam, was like, hey, can I please, I didn't realize this, I'm not going to have access to the internet at work. Cancel it. They gave me my money back. I cleared my account, and then I went and bought it on a disc.
Yeah. No, Steam, you can play offline. I mean, obviously, they have a lot of online multiplayer servers. Mm-hmm. But if you're playing single-player games, you're just playing them off your computer, and Steam sort of acts like a folder on your computer that has all your games in it.
Wow. You have just opened up a whole new world.
Yeah. You have to go back to the previous game lounges and listen to the fresh catches with that stuff, because you probably missed some good ones.
I've missed, like, this whole time. I'm like, you're like, yeah, we got this game on Steam and this special and that special. I'm like, that's a great game for you, you know, great deal for you PC gamers. This whole time I'm like, yeah, just like, and internally I'm just like, fuck you, fish, give me something good.
Yes. Nice. But that's why I've been game banging. Yeah, there's a demo out there, dude. Go try the demo and see if it'll run and see how it runs on your rig and all that stuff. And just see if it works. And if you're into it, then man, jump in, because it's a great digitized board game. Hmm. It is the best digitized board game out on the market today.
I'm such an ignorant asshole.
Welcome to the 21st century, Farva.
Thanks.
So that's game bang, and we're going to go on into Fresh Catch. All right, in the Fresh Catch this week, I have brought you a bevy of choices from a great source of perhaps not a rental service. I have used them as a rental service and been not impressed, but certainly as a great used game retailer, and that is Gamefly. They are having a sale through October 4th, and all their games are, well, select titles are shipping for free. But take a listen to this list, man. Okay, so we've got games for the 360 and the PS3 and the Wii. So, for example, we've got your Assassin's Creed 2 for the 360 and the PS3 for $15. You missed it? Nice.
Yeah.
Mass Effect 2 for the 360 is $18.
Deal.
BioShock 2 for both systems, $15.
Want
Not
it.
Not bad if you wanted to try that.
Want it.
Final Fantasy 13, if you missed the initial release and were kind of interested in it, for both systems is $18.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah. The Grand Theft Auto Episodes pack for the 360 is $18, and that includes both $20 downloads of the Ballad of Gay Tony and the
motorcycle one.
Fucking motorcycle one. And Borderlands is $20. For the 360, and Splinter Cell Conviction for the 360 is $20. Also, MAG for the PS3, if you're interested in it and you just didn't want to take a $60 plunge into it,
mm-hmm.
$18 on the PS3.
Dude.
So that's
my wife's been walking in and out of this recording session like this whole time. Like, I've been like, fucking go away, just go. Dude, now she's like, I'm gonna sit here. I'm like, you know what? As punishment for walking in and disturbing me during this podcast, I'm going to buy $100 worth of games. Fuck you.
Maybe you should ask her to get you a glass of milk.
You're an ass. Fuck yeah. You.
Okay, and then on the Wii side of things, we've got Mad World for $10. It was kind of an interesting game. I don't know if it's exactly... I don't even know if it's worth $10, but that's how much I got it for, and I'm not really feeling so hot about it. No More Heroes 2, which had a lot of good press, is $13. That came out a few months ago, so that's a pretty smoking deal there.
Yeah.
Dead Space Extraction, which got a lot of good stuff.
That was
had
a solid
lot of
game.
Press.
That was a fucking great game.
$15.
Oh, that's a steal, people.
And then you got Red Steel 2, which looked a lot like Borderlands, except for you got a sword and you're playing on the Wii. If you are only a Wii owner, I've heard this is a great game to get. $18. And then another one that's been getting a lot of good ink lately, Sin and Punishment, $20, which is a essentially a light gun shooter.
Hmm.
I played it a little bit in a game GameStop a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I was marginally impressed with it, and I hadn't put a whole lot of time with it. You know, it's basically you. It's not a first-person shooter, light gun shooter. You see your character
mm-hmm.
on the screen, and you have a jetpack, and you sort of fly around to avoid damage as you're shooting down corridors and stuff.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth a look. If that price point appeals to you, check out some videos and some screenshots of it. The reviews are actually pretty good for Sin and Punishment. So if you read the reviews, you'll probably be tempted to buy it. But see if it's the kind of game that you would be into. Anyways, all you got to do is go over to Gamefly and look for any one of these deals. Also, where I'm pulling this list off of, this specific list,
mm-hmm.
is Cheap Ass Gamer. And it's just right there on the front page. If you go to cheapassgamer.com, it's got a list. And there's a bunch of them that I didn't mention. Check it out. See if anything appeals to you. Cheapassgamer.com. That's where I get a lot of my deals for the fresh catch. But that's quite a bevy. Something for everybody in the fresh catch this week, Farva.
All right.
All right. So that's going to do it for the fresh catch. We're going to go on to Gamer Night announcements.
Hear ye. All are invited to join in a talking ship Gamer Night.
All right. This is Gamer Night announcements. And Farva, it is time. We started fucking having Gamer Nights again.
I'm really
it
drunk.
It is time.
I totally feel like licking my microphone right now. I'm just like, if this pop filter wasn't in the way, I would be licking my microphone. Just like,
take the pop filter off. Take the pop filter off and lick it right now. Do it. Farva, listen to me. Listen to me, Farva. Take the pop filter off and lick the microphone.
Tastes like metal.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, we have been absent from Gamer Nights, Farva. There is no excuse for our absence. Why don't you kick off how we're going to make this up to the people?
Okay, people, we're going to make it up to you by having a Gamer Night. How does that sound? Does that sound good? You guys want to have a Gamer Night? Huh?
Let's fucking do it.
Who's a good gamer? Who's a good gamer? You're a good gamer. That's right. You're a good gamer. You're a good gamer. Okay. All right. Fuck that. That was stupid. I don't know why I did that. Okay. Oh, yeah. I'm drunk. Okay. This is what we're going to do. You know what? Why don't you talk first? Because I want to drink some more.
Oh, okay. Keep drinking. So we're going to go out of order chronologically here because he's going to do one on Thursday. But I'm going to have one on Saturday. And what we're going to be doing on Saturday is Halo Reach Firefight. I have not gotten into the Halo Reach Firefight yet. And I really, really, really want to try it. I loved Halo ODST's Firefight for the two times I got to play it with my friends.
Yay! I was there.
Yeah, I'm going to do it again, goddammit. We're going to do it on Saturday. Time is to be determined. Keep an eye to the forums to find out when we're going to be doing this.
TBD.
I'm done locking in times. It may be after Bad Movie Drinking.
Are you editing this week?
Yeah.
Thank God, because I'm throwing in like random shit. I'm like, I am so glad I don't have to edit me out of this.
I won't edit you out of it either.
Oh, fuck it.
It may be that we do it after the Bad Movie Drinky Drinky. We may try that. So we will be doing a Bad Movie Drinky Drinky at the designated Bad Movie Drinky Drinky time. That would be 9 o'clock p.m. Talking Ship time. That's 9 o'clock p.m. Mountain Standard time. The Bad Movie Drinky Drinky will be back. I will be at the helm of it, so we will make sure that it goes off without a hitch. At the very least, Farva, mm-hmm. I will be drinking and watching a shitty movie.
I will
that
do
will
my
not
best.
Fall through.
I'm still voting for the Burrowers. I don't care if they watched it last week. I'm going for the Burrowers.
Even if I'm doing it on my own, that's what's going to happen. So jump in if you want to. We'll put that up on the forums too, and then likely the Gamer Night will follow. So Farva, have you sufficiently hydrated yourself there?
I have. Okay, I am good and pretty drunk.
Great.
Yeah,
so why
Thursday,
don't you make plans?
Thank God. I'm so glad I wrote this in earlier. On the 30th of September, I will be running a Gamer Night. We're going to say it's at 9:15 Mountain Standard Time. That is our typical talking ship standard time. All right, what do I usually play? I haven't played Battlefield Bad Company in a long time. Okay. That's what I want to play right now, so that's what we're going to play. Battlefield Bad Company 2. Now, Fish, can you do me a favor? Could you please put that in the forums, because I'm a little tipsy, and I should not be typing anything right now.
I'll do it at least by the time this thing gets edited. Yeah, we'll put it up in the forums before
the show
gets
because I will be using like slashes and dashes to try and make boobs on the forums. I'll be like, you know, on the gamer night for the third, nipples. It's just, yeah, I'm hammered. So let's just go with, yeah, you put it in the forums, and yeah, I will host
the gamer night. That's what I just wrote.
Brilliant. Okay. So.
Okay, so that's going to do it for the Gamer Night announcements. Farva, have you come up with a sufficient shout-out for our friend Special K?
All right. Special K, I know you're retarded. I have no idea why in God's name you would want me to throw any sort of shout-out at you. But here's your shout-out. Hey, to Special K, my biggest fan, thank you so much. Much appreciated. You're appreciated. You're loved. You're special. You're awesome. And that's all I'm going to say. I don't know. I don't have anything really good. I just want a drink. Next time, okay. All right, where's she from anyway?
She's in Oregon right now, going to school.
Okay, so she could have come to PAX.
She could have.
See, that's the thing. You had an opportunity to meet me. You didn't. You're a bitch.
Wow.
All right, I didn't mean that. I'm sorry. I take that back.
Darkies.
Edit that out. That's horrible.
Listen, Casey. If you would have come to PAX, he would have said nothing different to you because he was drunk the whole goddamn time there, too.
No, I'm very charming in person. In person, I'm very charming. I'm an asshole outside. For the most part, I'm an asshole. But when I'm drinking and in person, I'm very considerate. Right. So, yeah. Casey, thank you so much for listening to the show. It's very cool to have you. You're awesome. Keep it up with the sign language thing. You know, retards and deaf people need you.
Retards definitely need you, Farva. That's your whole livelihood.
I know. It's ridiculous. You know, every kid that's born with Down syndrome is just job security for me.
Nice. Well, that's a good way to look at it.
That's what I say.
All right. So that's going to do it for the Game Lounge episode number 18. We're going to get down and play some video games. Farva, you said you want to play some Battlefield Bad Company. If you can make it over to the Xbox without passing out. Right now, that'd probably be good. I'm going to get back and get into my Civ 5 and try and put together a few sticks and get across an ocean. So all that means is that you guys got to get the hell out of the Game Lounge.
Thanks for showing up. Get the fuck out.